Readings today, we have the most reluctant prophet in all of the Old Testament, Jonah. It's so crazy. I mean, we summarized all of Jonah in, 10 verses, and there wasn't even a whale, right? The whole thing, Jonah and the whale, it wasn't even there. Jonah running away from his mission to go and to invite the people of Nineveh to repentance. That wasn't even a part of it. You know, them casting lots and saying, who is it that has angered God that we are experiencing this storm? And he goes, it's me. Throw me overboard, right? Fish swallowing him, spitting him out on the shore, him walking to Nineveh. Okay, now we're going to tell the rest of the story. He proclaims to the people that God is planning to destroy their city because of their wickedness, that they need to repent. The people believe him. They put on sackcloth and ashes as a demonstration. It's not the sackcloth and ashes that touch God's heart, right? It's their belief in what he said, their repentance. This is what touched God's heart. Their repentance was manifest in their putting on sackcloth and ashes. If you walk around in sackcloth and ashes, my brothers and sisters, your vehicles are still going to break down. Okay? This is not like, oh, we draw from this, so we put on sackcloth and ashes, and everything in our life is great. They believe what the prophet says. They believe the word of God proclaimed to them. And then their actions follow their belief. And God repents for what he had planned to do to them. We got to the gospel text, and at first I was it's funny, I had a wedding yesterday, and literally all morning getting ready for the wedding, preparing the homily for the wedding, all of these things, got done with the wedding. It was 3 o'clock and I got confessions at 3:15. We were cleaning up everything, scrambling. I get in the confessional, I'm like, okay, I'm gonna write my homily for the weekend. And it was one person after another, after another, after another, after another for the confessional. I was like, oh my gosh! I'm like, Lord, what are you doing to me? So then, like, it's starting, and I got picked the song starting, and I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to speak about vocations and calls, because Andrew and James and John and Noah, Jonah, you know, all these things. And I was sitting there listening to the first reading, I'm like, oh, wait, no, that's not what you want me to preach about. I'm like, okay, all right, we'll talk about repentance. The kingdom of God is at hand, my brothers and sisters. Repent and believe in the gospel. Do we understand that phrase? Because it's essential. It's the root proclamation of Jesus. Of all of the things that he says, it is this. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. So the kingdom of God is at hand. A new king on the scene. Repent, this repentance. And this is why you pay me the big bucks, right? I mean, this is why I went to school for 7 years in seminary, right? In order to be able to look at the Greek and tell you what the Greek in the actual text says. Let's break open this word, right? It's not just to prove how smart I am. It's to understand what we're looking at here, right? The word in Greek is metanoia, repent. Because if I say repent, you can think, well, I need to put sackcloth and ashes on. I need to repent. I need to be like walking around like, oh, I'm so bad. I'm not a good person. Like that false humility thing, the other deprecation of self. No, my brothers and sisters, repentance is very specific. Metanoia, change the way you think. Metanoia. It is an invitation for us to change the way that we think. Think about what? Think about God. So a family member of mine, at every time his truck broke down, he's like, God's angry at me because I'm not going to church and blah, 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 this and that. And he's just punishing me. I'm like, really? You are thinking so wrong about your loving Heavenly Father. And I'm so disappointed that you attribute to God the brokenness of our world. And it's really sad to me because you don't know the love of your Father for you. And you think it's whether or not your truck is running. It has to change the way we think about God. Change the way we think about ourselves. You know, we come to define ourselves by the relationships that we're in. And my brothers and sisters, you are in relationships with a bunch of broken people, like yourself, like me. And so we form broken understandings of who we are. Repentant, metanoia, change, my brothers and sisters, the way that you think about who you are. We can be wrong about our thoughts about God. We can be wrong about our thoughts about ourselves. And we can be wrong about the thoughts of situations in the world and in life. I'm telling you what, news sources these days, I am so angry at the twisting of words. And you long just to know the truth. What was said? And you're like, no, don't look at the text. I will tell you what they said, right? I will tell you what they said. I saw this headline. Boom, we're going over here. We're taking it to my agenda over here. Oh, no, we're taking it over here this way. And it's the same word. How can you get these two different things so far apart from the same thing? There are many people out there that will tell you, I will tell you how to understand this situation. My brothers and sisters, you've got to do your due diligence. Archbishop wrote a very good article 2 weeks ago now in the Leaven. I encourage you to look at it, about a very confusing topic that has been run all through the media in all sorts of ways. If you don't get the Leaven, you should. If you're a parishioner here and you're registered in the parish, you should be getting the Leaven. If you're not, contact the office and we'll make sure that you're on the list. You can look it up online for all you people that don't necessarily read newspapers anymore. It's an 11 article, Archbishop, very clear about things that have become very unclear because of the way that the media is taking it. So we can be wrong about God, we can be wrong about ourselves, we can be wrong about the situations in life, and we can be living in that. If you live in the error, in the wrong, my brothers and sisters, how successful will your living be? I tried to think of an example. I don't know if it's a good example or not, but it's what came to my mind. My parents' home that we built 43 years ago. 40 years my parents lived in that home. My father knew where every wire was run in that house. He knew every piece of plumbing. He knew everything that had been spliced and reconnected and every outlet and switch and faucet and everything in the house. Why? Because he put it in there. I feel sorry for the people that bought my parents' house. Not because my dad didn't do a good job. He always did a good job. He was always very careful. He had everything inspected after he would do the work, you know. An electrician would come in and go like, who did this? And he's like, well, I did. And he's like, good job. If you need a job, let me know. I'll hire you out. We can do apprenticeship, you know. Right? You'd sign off on it. It's like, yep, this is all good, right? But the problem is, for the new owner, none of that's written down. There are no blueprints for our house. When my father passed, it was like, ooh, there it goes. I mean, I remember a couple of years when my dad got diagnosed this cancer and all that stuff. I'd come home and he'd be like, come with me. And he's like, no, the cutoff is over here. And then in the wintertime, you need to put these over these things, the vents that go down in the crawl space to keep the pipes from freezing. Then you need to do this. You need to wrap the air conditioning. And I'm sitting there looking at him like, what are you telling me about all this stuff? Like, you think I'm going to do all this stuff when you're gone? You know? And he's like trying to impart all the wisdom and all the things and all this stuff. But the problem is, right now there's no blueprint for that house. New owners? Good luck. Good luck finding those things, right? They've befriended my sister Sharon, so maybe they'll get some information from her. But having to live life and not having a blueprint, or having a blueprint that's wrong. It's wrong, right? You get the blueprint for your house, and you get this wall, and you're like, hey, blueprint says there's no electricity in this wall, there's no water running through it, there's no gas running through it, and it's not load-bearing. That's what the thing says. Yeah, just cut it out. But pop this open and make it nice, and you start that. Use the chainsaw. Go ahead. Psh, you know, there's nothing in there. And, you know, all of a sudden sparks are flying, and there's water shooting everywhere. Well, the blueprint doesn't say that it's there. Well, I'm sorry, your blueprint is wrong. Your blueprint doesn't correspond to truth. And whether it's our idea about who God is, about who we are, or about the situations of life, when it's wrong, my brothers and sisters. And trying to live life with a wrong blueprint is terribly difficult. And you're going to experience a lot of problems and a lot of brokenness because of it. So when Jesus comes along, he battles Satan in the desert, defeats him in the desert in all of his temptations, and comes forth and says that the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent, change the way that you're thinking, believe in the gospel. The gospel, another word that we have to understand. In Greek, evangelion, a proclamation of victory. Christians did not invent the term gospel. Gospel was a written document, a declaration of victory. Okay? Caesar Augustus, when he would conquer a new territory, would send out a proclamation of victory. He would write, "This is the gospel of Caesar Augustus, written on this day, conqueror of the Gauls. Know, all of you who now are in the territory of the Gauls, that you have been conquered by Caesar Augustus. These are your rights as now Roman, you know, whatever they were, citizens," or they probably wouldn't give them citizenship right away, you know, you got to work for that, you know, but as people under the thing, these are your rights and these are your responsibilities. There's your good news, your gospel, your proclamation of victory. You better believe it, because if you don't, the Roman soldiers will make sure that you do. And so that term gospel was not coined by the Christian community. It was a proclamation of victory. Jesus defeated the devil in the desert. He comes forth in a proclamation of victory that the kingdom of God is being established and is at hand. Repent, change the way that you're thinking, believe in this proclamation of victory. Here's your new blueprints for life. And these blueprints correspond to the truthfulness of how things are in God, how things are in you, how things are in the world. My brothers and sisters, it doesn't take much living to get wrong information. It doesn't take much living to things to get distorted. So this proclamation, this invitation to repent, is always applicable. Repent, and repent again, and repent again. Change the way that you're thinking. When you experience the world and the situation, and the first thing out of your mouth is like, "God, I thought you loved me." Right? No? Am I the only one? Am I the only one that says that? Right? And situations of life pop up. You know, I try not to say it when, like, I get a splinter. Like, "Phew, oh, I got a splinter. God, I thought you loved me." Right? You know, I usually a little bit more secure than that. Even when I cut my finger off and I go to the hospital, "God, I thought you loved me," right? No, but, sorry. But when those situations happen, and there's a direct attack in you against the truth of the gospel message of Jesus Christ, that you are known, that you are loved, that your Heavenly Father loves, is love. He sent His Son that He would die upon the cross so that we could have new life through Him and reconciliation. That we could have new life and that the Holy Spirit could be poured within us. When stuff in our life speaks contrary to that, we're at war. And in that moment, we need to believe. And there are times when we believe incorrectly. And you know what? When we believe incorrectly about any of these, it's time to repent. And repent is not like, "Oh, I'm just a bad person." No, repentance is, you're thinking about this one way, and it is wrong. You need to change the way you're thinking. And changing the way you think about who God is, about who you are, and about this situation, you will have life. And so this invitation to repent, it's for all time. We just don't do a one-time repentance. That first repentance, man, that's huge, right? You know, all of the stuff in the last, 15 years, all the stuff for the last whatever years, that first repentance of believing in the truth of the gospel message, the love of God, the kingdom of God is at hand. I'm a part of that kingdom. I am known. I am loved. Jesus is alive. He's not dead. He was dead, but now is alive and He lives forever. Holy Spirit's been poured into us. All of these truths of who we have become in Jesus Christ. This is how we are to live our life. In the fullness of that gospel message of truth, we are always invited to repent, my brothers and sisters. But it is an invitation for us, first and foremost, to change our way of thinking. And this is why it's important, because the way that you think determines your actions. You know? We say, you know, I love this person, and yet I do these other things. And you say, do you love me? Yeah, I told you I love you. Then why are you doing this? The wrong understanding, the fundamental understanding of who we are, what we believe, is revealed in our actions. And so if we struggle, right? Because we think of repentance, we think of like, well, I'm doing the wrong actions over and over. Why are you doing the wrong actions and over and over? Because I'm thinking wrong about God. I'm thinking wrong about myself. I'm thinking wrong about the world. And in my wrong thinking, my actions are flowing from it. You want to change your actions? Don't just write them on a list and start checking them off. And when I got to do this and change this around, and I'm gonna, you know, get rid of this in my life. I'm gonna do all these things to change my actions. Change the way you think, and your actions will change. That's why it's important to know the Greek. And I'm not talking about the guy that lives down the street, right? It's important to know the Greek. It's important to understand the root of these words. Invitation for us to change the way that we think. Change the way that you believe about these things. And your actions will follow. So, on this third Sunday of ordinary time in the middle of January, and this is going to be a balmy day in the 30s here in Kansas City, everybody's going to be running around in shorts going, spring is here, spring is here. My brothers and sisters, today the invitation is for us. No matter how many times you've done it in the past, today is the day. We're invited to change the way that we think. To receive the truth of the gospel message, the good news, the proclamation of victory that is ours in Him. We are new citizens of a new kingdom, new passports for everybody. Yay! To believe, and our actions will follow that belief. There's so many beautiful, wonderful things that Jesus teaches us about God, about who we are, and about this world. And to operate in that truth is freedom. So my brothers and sisters, repent. Repent and believe. Repent and believe in the gospel. Amen.